10 after 3. House Community and Regional Affairs. Call to order. Present are Representatives Phillips, Furness, Maru, Wallace, and Gall.
Move to adjourn.
And we have a motion to adjourn. Representative Maru, your objection. Hearing none.
Are you guys paying attention here?
We'll just strike that reference to the adjournment motion out of courtesy to the good Representative Homer, and I'd like to recognize Mr. Keith of the Alaska Power Authority who's here today, and other employees and representatives of other entities.
We shouldn't have, that's not locked.
We have before us House Bill 391, an act authorizing the Alaska Power Authority to transfer certain projects to public utilities and providing for an effective date, specifically the Port Lyons transmission line and the Kobuk Shungnak transmission line would be transferred to what it says is appropriate public utilities. Maybe we'll need to be a little more specific here. Who would like to testify first?
Mr. Chairman, if I might propose.
Yes, Chief. Thank you, sir. Ms. White, please make yourself comfortable and tell us a little about this bill.
Can
we get some cups? Thank you, sir.
This bill was passed, or the request for introduction of legislation was passed at the February board meeting as a resolution, and the governor introduces legislation upon request.
Forgive me, would you state your name and affiliation?
Yes. Susan White, Special Assistant to the Executive Director of Alaska Power Authority.
Thank you.
And the resolution stated that the two projects, the Kobuk Shungnak transmission line and the Port Lyons transmission line, should be transferred to the appropriate utilities. The appropriate utilities in these two cases would be the city of Kobuk for the Kobuk Shungnak line, and then to Kodiak Electric Association and the Port Lyons line. The Port Lyons line transmits electricity from the Terra Lake project in Kodiak. And we have proposed to grant these projects to the utility.
Could you just outline for the members the nature of the corporate nature of the utilities to whom these lines would be granted, and the status of the lines at this time, and their legal, the obligations that are incumbent upon the state?
At this time, the Kobuk Shungnak line is in operation, and we have been maintaining it on an emergency or basic maintenance type basis over the past 2 years, and the cost to the state has been approximately $5,000 per year. That does not include miscellaneous breakdown of equipment, which would occur. The Terra Lake, or the Port Lyons line, is not operational. It is complete and should be in the very near future. And that would go to KEA. And, we have looked at our operating budget for FY26, and it is assumed that we could potentially assume the operation and maintenance cost on the Port Lyons line out of our operation and maintenance revenues from with Terra Lake, and that would be putting an addendum in the Terra Lake O&M agreement if transfer of these projects is not legislatively authorized. It has not been in operation, so we have not had to maintain that.
Just on the first two parts of the question, what is the corporate nature of the two utilities? Private, public, what sort of operation?
KEA is a cooperative. It's a Kodiak Electric, Inc. And then the Kobuk, the city of Kobuk is a second-class city, and it is within their city utilities, water, sewer, electric.
So it would appear, in a sense, that we've got two different types of issues. One is a operating transmission line to a political subdivision, and the other is the transfer of something that's under construction to a co-op. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Representative Wallace?
I can't place co-op. Is that near question?
Yeah, it's, northeast of, and then Kobuk and Chungnak are approximately 11 miles apart.
This connects the two communities? And where's the power generated in Kobuk?
The power is generated in Chungnak at the AVEC, operates the power plant there.
AVEC?
Alaska Village Electric Cooperative.
So then the cooperative would be providing the power, but the municipality would be owning the transmission line?
If we transferred it to the city of Kobuk.
Is that the intent?
Yes.
So then if this bill were to read, if it were to be rewritten to specify that the transfer would be to the city of Kobuk, that would not change the intent of this bill in any way?
No, I don't believe so.
Because right now it's just a generic sort of bill. It says may transfer the following projects to appropriate public utilities.
Right, and the appropriate public utilities would be City of Kobuk and then KEA in respect to the Port Lions.
I understand. Further questions by members of the committee? Mr. Moreau?
The Port Lions transmission line, is that the one that's not operating?
Right.
Was it never completed or was
it completed? It has been completed. It is 100% complete. And it should be operational. It's ready to begin operation. They have some minor switchgear, I believe, that they have to install, and then it will be operational.
Is it true that both of these, or each of these, is about 11 miles long, each line?
No, the Kobuk-Chungnak is 11 miles, and then the Port Lions is about... Yeah, about I'd say up to 20 miles.
Excuse me, do you know what an RPL is?
It's on the bottom page, at the bottom line of the first page of the bill announced.
Never come
first page.
An RPL will
revised
be...
Revised program. I think the L.
Oh, okay. A revised program?
A revised program request will be submitted.
RPR. Further questions?
Well...
Right.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm reading through these memos and trying to get a handle. Maybe Susan can answer directly. That is there a sufficient authority to simply transfer the lines, these two transmission lines, into the subsequent utilities without some type of monetary consideration?
At this point, we've only considered granting utilities. It is my suspicion that perhaps legislation would have to be written into this bill which would state that the sale or grant or sale or which option.
Maybe it would be helpful to the representative and to the other members of the committee to review the legal status of these as regards the Alaska Power programs and so on, so that the legal steps are clear to all the members and why this bill is before us, that sort of thing. Okay.
These two projects are included within the Energy Program for Alaska. The Energy Program for Alaska includes projects which have been funded through appropriations which have gone to the Power Development Fund. And when a project is funded through the Power Development Fund, it is automatically included under the Energy Program for Alaska. And you cannot transfer or convey a project to a utility or another entity without having legislation expressly stating so.
Then would it be correct to paraphrase what you said to say that the monies have been appropriated, the projects are in the Energy Program for Alaska, that to remove them from that program and convey them to another entity requires legislation? The language of the law speaks of conveyance and makes no mention of whether it be for free or whether we charge.
I'm going to defer that to Diane. I spoke with her before the meeting about this.
Please pull up a chair and state your name and share with us your insights.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Diane Colvin with the Department of Law, and I have to confess to not being an expert in this area. Carolyn Jones is the assistant AG in our office that works with the Power Authority, and she asked me to attend the meeting for her, so if there are questions I can't answer, I'll be glad to relay them to them, to her and get back to you. As far as the basic transfer goes, what Susan said is correct. There is not authority under the Energy Program of Alaska for the Power Authority to transfer in any way projects within that program. The way the bill is written now, I presume, and I'm quite sure this is correct, that transfer would mean a grant of some sort rather than a sale. That does not mean, of course, that you could not include the power to sell within the bill or do so by legislation.
I'm sorry, could you just once again repeat the very last thing you said about the issue that Representative Furness raised about price versus gratis transfer?
What I think the question is that the way the bill is written, it would give the authority to grant the project. I don't think it would give them the authority to sell. That does not mean the bill couldn't be amended to do so if that's your intent.
I could follow up.
Yes.
To anyone's knowledge, is this the first time that we have transferred a project out of the energy package or energy program to a private concern or a nonprofit concern?
Yes, I believe it is. And these projects are small transmission line projects, and they were included in the energy program for Alaska through the Power Development Fund, and perhaps they shouldn't have been. Because the Power Development Fund has been ordinarily used for larger type projects. And these are two small projects which we have that in the future could become an operating and maintenance burden to the state as far as the liability and operating and maintenance costs.
I just want to follow up maybe two additional questions. I'm reading all this very fast. I should have probably got my file and done a little closer reading to it. But it mentions something here about except for a public purpose, and I understand that section to read that if you're going to transfer property of this nature to a nonprofit or private concern, one of the tests that should be made is for public purpose, and I would assume there should be a step similar to what happens in oil and gas transfer or oil and gas sale, that there should be a findings, and that finding should be sufficient to support the public purpose holding. And I assume that that really has not been done, am I correct?
Well, the Attorney General's office did find the proposed transfer or the eventual transfer to serve a public purpose in that way. It would be providing a means for the quality of life for in rural Alaska to be maintained as far as generation of electrical facilities.
Well, just one last comment, Mr. Chairman. I'm reading this. I don't see it. We've got the one letter dated April 8th, looks like 85, that somewhat addresses it, but it just really does not come out.
Sure does. Bottom
maybe
page one.
Does it?
Yeah, bottom page one.
We don't know of any facts surrounding
it would appear that
why are these copies so bad if this was only
these
done
are
April 85?
Do you have an original of some sort? Maybe we can make better ones. I think committee staff probably made it on the same machine.
It was I telecopied it.
Okay.
And here's an original or a copy.
Now, could you just summarize your answer there in regard to public purpose? There is a finding of public purpose, you say, to be served by the transfer?
Yes, the Attorney General's office reviewed the proposed legislation and found that transferring the projects would serve a public purpose.
And that was based on what?
Mr. Chairman, I can read that for you if you like.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you had it. I can't seem to.
This is April 8th, 1985. We do not know many of the facts surrounding these proposed transfers, but considering a number of Alaska Supreme Court decisions, it would appear that a grant of power transmission lines to communities such as these would indeed serve a public purpose. We have been told that the local utilities to which these projects are intended to be transferred are owned by nonprofit corporations, blah, blah, blah. The power authority will no doubt provide further information. That's about it.
Thank you.
It would indeed serve a
purpose. Representative Furness and then Representative Wallace has some questions.
I think I've read this, but the thing that bothers me is that it would appear that a grant. Now, when one says it would appear, it tells me that they're not really certain. It's sort of shooting from the seat of the pants. I don't have any great problems with it. It appears that what we're doing is, for the first time, we may be setting somewhat of a precedence by doing it in this instance without really due consideration. It appears that if you're going to do it, there ought to be a full-blown finding of, a statement supporting, clear-cut statement supporting the public purpose, and that be laid out on its own with all the justification, rather than just sort of acting on this, because this really has a lot of significance as to what we're doing here, first step.
Yes, it does.
Good idea. Let's do it.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, there is also a question that the legislature and the administration should consider, and that's if we do maintain or retain ownership of these projects, we're going to have to start charging O&M costs to incur revenue.
I would think so.
And now, does that make us a utility? I mean, we're going to start acting as utility because we will maintain ownership of these.
The Attorney General's statement there referred to you for explanation of the public purpose. Do you have any comments on that?
I could get a full explanation from the Attorney General which issued the finding of a public purpose. It's my understanding that it would be serving the welfare and the lifestyle of the residents in that area.
Representative Wallace?
I'm not sure if we're getting off track or a little carried away here, because the money could have easily been appropriated to both of these communities and had the line built. But instead, at the time, I think it was that they were trying to set up a special energy commission, what that was called.
Energy program.
Yeah, this energy program. So then they just all gave it to them. They gave every project that year to the energy program, when in fact it just could have gone to the communities or to the utilities themselves. So I don't understand the big deal here.
I see. Well, Representative, I can't speak for Representative Furness. I quite agree with you on the COBOC issue. It's going to a political subdivision, and I think a transfer of a public facility from the state to a political subdivision for a public purpose is easy to understand. I think that probably our next witness will have some comments on the nature of the cooperative, and I think once that's established, maybe that will clear the issue up. But if I understand Representative Furness's concerns, just to determine what the nature of the recipients are, so that it can be determined whether or not there should be some return of the state's investment or not. I can't speak for him, but that was my understanding of what he was driving.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I might add that the second-class city of Cobuck is a very, very small community in northern Alaska, and I don't know if they would have the revenues to purchase it. And I think it would tax them unduly if we sold it to them rather than granted the project, if we're going to transfer.
I don't think anyone is challenging the good intentions of anyone here. It's just a question of establishing the facts and putting them on the record and proceeding, with some history here, so that people can ask us what we did and we can answer them. Representative Maru is seeking the floor, and Representative Gruenberg.
We have a slightly older AG's opinion here from last July that says it would, I believe, be consistent with the APA's corporate purpose to transfer the facilities in issue to various utilities who can maintain and operate those facilities for the benefit of the people of Alaska. In conclusion, it is my opinion that the APA may transfer its facilities to other entities so long as it is in keeping with the APA's corporate purpose. Also in your folder is Resolution 8501, dated 26th of February this year, by the APA Board of Directors, which unanimously is in favor of just such transfers, and it was signed by seven members of the commission. directing the executive director to do just, of course, what this bill purports to do. And I quite agree with the witness's suggestions that if we don't transfer these to other entities, that we're going to be faced with operating maintenance budgets, which we probably would not like to look at.
Representative Grunberg?
I suspect, although I came in the middle of the question, concerned about some of the same things as Representative Furness. The legislature seems to me gets into trouble, and the state gets into trouble if we make decisions on an ad hoc basis. And I think that this is the first time that we have been faced with the transfer of a utility. We ought to set some guidelines that can guide the APA in the future. Looking at the general language here, the legislature, and I'm on the second page of the July 18 memo from Ross Copper, subsection 7, which allows the APA to donate real property owned by it without any limitations whatsoever. And I can see at least the quoted part of the statute. I can see approving this, but I have difficulty doing it if the legislature does not set some standards. Because if we don't set some standards, this bill will serve as a precedent in all sorts of different circumstances. I'm going to give an example. When the funding mechanism for the new office building that's been proposed in downtown Anchorage was discussed, first, there was a precedent that was given for a similar arrangement that took place last year in a very small situation that was sort of obscure and nobody took note. But that was used as the precedent for a major move by the administration. And I can see something like this, particularly because it will actually have the force of law, having passed the legislature, that people will be able to say, well, first of all, what they'll say is, you can't transfer without getting legislative approval. I mean, that may be one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it was that the legislature just allowed the transfer, and basically ratifying the carte blanche that subsection 7 gives the APA, and I'm concerned about
it. Let me ask you about this now. My understanding of what has been stated so far is that if it's part of the energy program for Alaska, then they have to come to the legislature for approval. But are you including in your concern other APA assets, and is that part of the issue you're raising? Could you make a statement as to the discretion of the APA with regard to disposing of its other assets?
This Ross Copperwood memo of July 18th was in respect to those APA projects which have been constructed through legislative appropriations not within the Energy Program for Alaska.
Upon
direction of the Board of Directors, the Executive Director may enter into negotiations and come to agreement to sell, lease, convey those projects, small energy projects within the Energy Program for Alaska.
Thank you. Representative Grunberg, I'd like to just make sure I understand your concern here. And are you saying that, number one, that the legislation should state that we accept that a public purpose is being served by the disposal of this particular asset, and number two, are you interested in establishing a requirement of legislative approval for the disposal of any APA asset?
My thinking hasn't progressed that far. Both of those sound like good suggestions to me. What I think we need to do is to set up a set of standards for the transfer of projects. Mm-hmm. And then
establish public purpose.
And then determine within that whether this particular transfer, these two transfers, meet the statutory requirements. And if we're inclined to want to approve them, by the same token, make the statutory requirements such that these two transfers will, in fact, be approved.
Representative Furness, do you have the reference there?
I'm reading it. This is a pile of the authority. I'm just reading through it. I just want
to... Thank you. Maybe when you come to the point that Representative Gruenberg is discussing, you can share it with us. Representative Maru?
Representative Gruenberg used a couple of terms that I would like to maybe clarify. He used the term real property. To the best of my knowledge, there's no real property involved here. No real property involved here.
This is not a transfer of a transmission line?
It's a transmission line.
Transmission line on easements. There's no real property involved.
An easement's real property.
An easement is not real property.
You can obtain your market value for use of an easement.
Your understanding of the law is fundamentally different from mine, Representative.
Okay, we've established that.
An easement is not real property.
Further comments or questions?
The second item.
No.
Oh, with me.
Sure. The second item is that Representative Gruenberg spoke of a utility. These are not utilities. There's only transmission line. There's nothing at either end.
I'm using that. The broad, I won't get into semantics. Again, I disagree.
Mr. Chairman, I think I may have something here.
Thank you.
I believe it's already laid out here. In fact, it's in there. It's on the memo that it states here. The authority goes to sell, lease, as lessor or lessee, exchange, donate, convey, or encumber in any manner by mortgage or by creation of any other security interest, real or personal property owned by it or in which it has an interest, which in its judgment, in the judgment of the authority, the action is the furtherance of its corporate purpose to accept gifts, grants, or loans, or to deposit or invest in funds subject to agreement of bondholders, whatever. Section 7 here is a key. It appears that one of the things we may want to do...
Could you pass that down?
If I just may comment a second here. One of the tests that should be made is the finding of public purpose. And it appears that maybe the only thing we need in these kinds of transfers to a nonprofit or whatever entity, maybe a written finding of public purpose, and that somewhat gives us at least a more detailed bit of justification as to why it should be done. We do that in oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that written finding of sort of stipulating the public purpose and how they come to that conclusion.
Through the chair, Representative Furness, are you suggesting that let us proceed from an assumption, and you may not like the assumption, but it's proceed from the assumption that we should set up some standards.
Well, I think the standard's already there.
Well, hear me out.
Right.
That before, do you agree that before a transfer takes place, the legislature should approve it?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Right.
And number two, that the approval should include within it proposed findings that this is, in fact, for a public purpose.
That's it.
And that would meet your need.
That would meet my need.
That to me sounds reasonable, Mr. Chairman.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this. We still have to deal just for a moment, and I hope it will only be a technicality, with the issue of the nature of KEA, and I think that should clarify the issue there pretty well. Let me see if I understand what you're suggesting, that there be a purpose section inserted in the bill that states that it is the finding of the state legislature that a public purpose is in fact being achieved by the transfer.
But I'm suggesting it's a little more than that.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to part two, but I mean, as far as the public purpose section.
I'm suggesting that the bill be altered in a fundamental respect that would say, the title would read something to the effect, and I'd have to think about this, establishing standards for the transfer of whatever it is, utilities from the APA, and approving the specific transfer here. And that what we should say is before the APA may transfer a utility or any part thereof or something like that, they shall do two things. Number one, submit the proposal with proposed factual findings that this is in the public interest to the legislature, and then this shall be approved in legislation by the legislature, so that the legislature would approve not only the actual transfer but the factual findings too, so we have a good body of agency common law developed. And then the second part of the bill would say that in accord with the Section 1 of the bill, the legislature finds that the transfer of these two lines is in the public interest for the following reasons, and therefore the legislature approves the transfer. Something
okay,
like that.
Okay, now, let me try again. Let me reverse that, if I may. I started on the language to implement your suggestion here.
Mr. Chairman, what I'm suggesting would be the first thing would be a general statute, the second would be the temporary statute.
Yes. Let me try it my way. In the body of this piece of legislation, the title is appropriate to what you're saying. And
now you have to change the title.
You have to change the title.
What he's saying is, Peter, is you have one section.
Okay, Randy, just one sec, though. Let's just be informal for one second here. Let me just make a struggle at this. Okay, the title needs, just give me a break for one second, gentlemen. The title needs to be changed to include that you're establishing criteria for the transfer of certain property, right?
Right.
In addition to that, in the purpose section of the bill, at the beginning, it would state, for the purposes of this transfer,
right,
that it is the understanding of the legislature that a public purpose has been established.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the body of the bill, something along the lines of no property value, say in excess of $10,000, or it says section 4483.0807 says that they can make these conveyances. However, prior to the transfer of any property in excess of $10,000, a submission of factual findings defining the public purpose will be provided to the legislature, and the approval of the legislature of the transfer is required, or words to that effect. Is that correct?
That's it. That's a start. Diane, she can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think what we really need to do is to talk to the legislative council on exactly how to draft the thing. What I want to do, or what I'm suggesting to you, is that it would that the bill itself would contain provisions that would amend Title 44, and that portion of the bill would be permanently in the statute. And then the second and third sections or whatever, would deal with this specific transfer.
Mm-hmm.
I assume we could do that in the same piece of legislation.
Why not?
And we have legislative findings to save time. I don't see why we have to send this back to the agency. Maybe the agency could assist in drafting the findings that this is in the public purpose. And I frankly, as a matter of policy, think that we should deal with each transfer separately in the bill, that there be a section.
That's my amendment. I definitely want this Kobuk transfer to say to whom it is being transferred, the Port Lyons transfer to say to whom it is being transferred, a little paragraph in front that says it is accepted that there's a public purpose, and then...
And each one would have, since they're different facts, different factual findings, and then...
Well, I don't think you have to put the findings specifically in there. Do you really want to do that?
I don't know. That's something the committee could decide. I don't.
I mean, the AG has stated that, in their opinion, it is. If you want to challenge that, then I would think it would be appropriate.
Or at least a statement that we find that it is in
the
public purpose.
Yeah, that you affirm the findings of the Attorney General that it's in the public purpose.
And then approving.
Okay, just philosophically, are the members basically in accord with this? No, Representative Maru.
Mr. Chairman, I seldom find myself supporting and defending the governor, much less the Attorney General. However, the Attorney General has issued two opinions here which I cannot disagree with. They have cited the statutes that the Alaska Power Authority certainly has all the authority it needs to do this without our concurrence. As far as I can tell, the executive branch has decided to be nice about this and ask for legislative concurrence when in fact it is not required.
No, it's required because it's part of the energy program for Alaska. If it were some other asset of the AGA...
I disagree, Mr. Chairman.
Well, why don't you ask the
if
people...
If I may finish.
Sure.
There's a resolution here which APA has written unanimously in favor of this, and I don't think it's necessary. I think we have a small issue here which we can settle, and it's in the neighborhood of cutting our losses. If we don't do this, we are, in fact, going to be faced with operation and maintenance budgets. That's already been testified. And I think we should go along with it, and I consider, in all due respect, what the representative from Spinard has suggested is legal obfuscation, which may be good for another bill, which this committee may want to introduce, but I don't consider it part of this bill. I think it's a bill we should look at separately.
Further comment?
Mr. Chairman,
please.
If I may, I think it's important for you, too. I'm not sure that you are distinguishing between the general powers of the authority and the powers under the energy program.
That's correct. We're not.
And you don't
We're
want
saying
to.
That if they're going to give away anything valued over
okay.
a certain amount.
I just wanted to make sure that was your intent.
Transfer.
Because
no, I appreciate your comment, and I agree with you that this would be a broadening, certainly, of the restriction, and that's what he's driving at, for better or worse.
Okay.
Further discussion? Sir?
Yeah, I think that when we're setting this thing up, in the general, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like us to work into a committee substitute of this. And I'm happy to devote some time, if somebody else on the committee is willing to also, to, even if they're not, to
I'll work with you.
Okay. And, but I don't want to limit it to donations. I think it should be to various kinds of transfers, because I don't want them saying they don't have to come to us because it's for consideration.
Representative Wallace, any comment? Thank you very much. If you'd stay with us, possibly Mr. Hutchins would like to address the committee.
Can we make an introduction?
They all have it out very fast. We will play with some of the stuff, but basically the authorization is going to go in. You're very kind. I appreciate it. We'll take care. Representative Wallace is excused. Yes. Mr.
Robert, I'd like to make a special introduction to this gentleman. Mr. Hutchins is, I don't know that he's a constituent of mine, but his office is honorary in my district. And I guess today is the day for introducing people who are members who have been members of other state legislatures. Mr. Hutchins was a member of the Oklahoma State House of Representatives.
I wouldn't bark at that too wide.
Well, sir, before you came up from Texas, I'm sorry.
You're from Texas, you're not from Oklahoma.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I can well appreciate the distaste that many people have for Texans. If there's anybody that can appreciate the dislike for Texans, it's an Oklahoman.
No, I like Texans and Oklahomans. In fact, I'm surrounded by them. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, the status of KEA, Kodiak Electric Association Incorporated, is a nonprofit rural electric cooperative organized under AS 1025. It's one of about 15 co-ops in the state so organized, and in fact, it's the second oldest rural electric cooperative in Alaska. And I don't want to impose on the committee's time this afternoon, but perhaps I could give you some background regarding these particular projects. They're quite different in history. The Port Lions project, the Port Lions project was originally started as a little hydro project at Port Lions. The funding was a grant for the construction of the Port Lions Hydro Project. And the community of Port Lions decided they would rather be intertied to Terror Lake than have their own separate little hydro project. And so the legislature then later converted this money from a grant for the Port Lions Hydro Project to inclusion of this line within the energy program for Alaska. I think it's important to note that both of these projects, although they're styled as transmission lines in the bill and internal documents in the power authority, they're both constructed as distribution lines in terms of the voltage. The Port Lions line is constructed to standard REA specifications for a distribution line. And the reason that it's so important, Mr. Chairman, that that this line be taken out of the power authority is that there are a number of prospective consumers who are along the route of this little line between Terra Lake and Port Lyons, and KEA is a certificated electric utility for the area, but the power authority owns the line, and there's no way to serve them off of this distribution voltage line unless the line is somehow transferred to KEA. And so there is a very strong public purpose in that regard to be able to extend service to these people.
Why is the transfer relevant to the extension of service? I mean, the line is there, the utility is there. What does the ownership of the line have to do with who can get service and who can't?
The line is owned by APA, and they're not authorized to serve retail clients, retail consumers. And they're the ones that own it and control it.
And they don't provide, they don't provide power, so they can't serve anyone. It's just a line, right? I mean, you or whoever it would be would still be providing and buying and selling, wouldn't it?
No, they do own the power source, too, the Terra Lake Hydro Project is tied to. The purpose for this line is to get power from Terra Lake over to Port Lyons.
Well, who's going to own Terra Lake, then, if they can't provide? Oh, I see. They can only provide wholesale power.
Correct.
I see. Well, why can't they provide wholesale power and still own the line?
They can. But they simply cannot provide retail service to these consumers, these prospective consumers who are sitting there under the line.
I guess what I'm saying is if the KEA would provide the retail service, and if they wish to own the line in the process, why can they not provide retail service without owning the line?
Well, provide retail service with what? That line is what you provide it with.
Well, my understanding
My
understanding would be that there's a distribution line running from Terra Lake to some point, right? And there's somebody there on the path of this line that would like to buy service.
Yes.
Well, then someone's going to have to build a little connecting line to that person's home. Now, what stops KEA from building that little connecting line, buying wholesale power off this transmission line and selling it to that consumer?
For the most part, you're not needing an additional line. You only need a service drop, and you have to be able to attach that to a line that you control.
Why a line that you control rather than a line that you pay a fee for hooking up to?
Not sure that I can actually respond to that, but I know
I wouldn't ask except you say that it's necessary in order to provide the service, and although I see that it's in the interest of the utility, I don't see why it's necessary.
It's in the interest of the utility consumer. As a non-profit electric co-op, the utility nets nothing out of it.
What does that mean? Nets nothing out of it?
Well, it's a non-profit co-op. The utility does not have a profit motive here to retain any earnings for itself, but any earnings that it has are paid out to the consumers, belong to the consumers.
Maybe you could draw me a picture of what you're talking about, because it's a little hard for me to, I don't mean to raise new issues, but you made a statement that I don't understand, and I'm trying to understand it. You've got a facility that generates power. It's owned by APA.
Yes.
It's selling power to the co-op on a wholesale basis.
Correct.
And if the line were operational and remained in the ownership of APA, and I'm not saying that there's a public interest in that, I'm just trying to understand this, they would then, through that line, sell to the co-op.
Yes.
And the co-op would then be the intermediary and sell power to the customer, or would sell power to its member, or whatever you want to phrase it. Now, you raised an issue with people along the line. I assume that means that somewhere at the terminus of the line, you do have a way of taking power off the line and reselling it.
That's
correct. But somewhere along the line, people might want to buy some power. Now, what I don't understand is the relevance of that to the ownership of the line any more than the relevance of the terminus of the line. In other words, if you, the utility, whether it be owned by the consumer or not, have to hook up to that line with wire. That wire is the issue. That's the part that is owned by the utility. That's where the transfer from wholesale to retail takes place. What relevance has ownership of the line to that? I don't understand that.
Well, you've also got the problem of where do you meter? Do you meter at Terra Lake, or do you meter at Fort Lyons? And I think the metering has been set up to be at Fort Lyons. And for the there's also a metering coming out both places, perhaps. But you've got the problem there of being able to serve the individual consumers along the line. According to Kodiak Electric, they think that it's impossible for them to serve it unless they get control of the line, and it's impossible for APA to serve these consumers because they don't have authority to provide retail service.
Do any of the members of the committee understand why it's impossible for them to serve people along the line without owning the line?
Well, I understand. I was thinking the same along the same line. Okay, and what Peter's saying, what's the difference? Other than ownership.
I mean, it'd be fun to own it, you know, but if no one's charging a fee for hooking up, what difference does it make?
I can see if the problem about the ownership at the end of the line, and after, and then KEA has got to go and put another line back up to catch those people. If you can put a drop, in this case the APA, through KEA, charge to you for that car, if you can put a drop?
Well, who would be maintaining the line, and who would
KEA.
Be?
KEA would be maintaining the drop line.
And who would be maintaining the distribution line?
The state.
Well, the state, but then you might want to prorate it to whoever should.
Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's in the public interest to keep it in the hands of the state. What I'm questioning is why it is necessary to KEA to have the transfer, and I haven't gotten anything even approaching an answer to that.
Well, perhaps I can get back to KEA and give you a clearer answer, but it's just simply my understanding from KEA that their lawyers tell them that they are not able to provide the retail service from the line other than a bulk delivery point.
Let me try again. If KEA owned the line, right, mm-hmm. in this scenario, and you're putting in their drop, what's the difference between APA owning the line and have APA charge KEA for the drop? In one case, you're APA is wholesaler. That drop is retail. Yeah, why can't APA charge KEA for that drop instead of having KEA own the whole line?
It's probably some legal.
Yeah,
I think it's on the advice of their attorney that they are not able to do this, receive the power from APA except at a bulk delivery point.
Probably also your meter too.
Mm-hmm. I'll get you a more thorough answer to that question.
Mr. Moreau?
I see that there are two simple matters here, and one is that you're either a wholesaler or a retailer. APA is a wholesaler, and they sell it wholesale, which means into a distribution line or into a transmission line or into a distribution network of some sort. And that's that. You sell it at one point, you meter it at that point, you know, and it goes by zillions of kilowatt hours or whatever. Then the other people are responsible for the distribution. They have both transmission lines and distribution lines. In this case, the transmission lines can also serve as a distribution line. It isn't now, but it could be. And the people who are handling distribution, which is at the retail level, that's what that means in utilities when you distribute, you're distributing to retail customers. Then the people who are distributing have the responsibility for operating and maintaining the lines. And it's silly to ask them not to own it, but yet take care of it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take care of somebody else's line or somebody else's truck. I know far more about trucking than I do electric utility lines, but there's no way that I want to operate and maintain somebody else's truck if it's in my business. And I think it's silly to ask somebody to operate and maintain a distribution line without owning it.
I think there's no question about that.
Wouldn't that
it's in their interests. There's no question that it would be in their interests to own the line. My question is, why is it necessary? And I don't think it is necessary, because if it's metered from Terror Lake, and if KEA is the only entity distributing power off the line, I can't see that it makes any difference as to whether they're taking it from 20 points on the line or 1 point on the line. They're responsible for their part of that, but the line, who owns the line, doesn't seem germane at all.
Mr. Chairman, we already heard testimony, and it's quite true that there's going to have to be operation and maintenance of the line. Lines do not last forever.
I'm not questioning the public interest.
Well, the state, APA, does not want to get into that. That's already been stated clearly. APA does not want to get into maintaining this line.
Yeah, I accept that. The only question that was raised here, and maybe it was an irrelevant issue to begin with, was whether, and with all due respect, was whether or not it is necessary for the utility to own the line. That statement was made. I none of us can figure out why. If you know why, I'd love to know it. I'm not saying it's not better for APA to get rid of the darn thing. I'm just saying that, you know, other than, I mean, there's a benefit to the state, if you will, if you want to look at it that way. But I still wonder what the benefit to the utility is. For example, if the state were to maintain the line and take on this liability as it's been described, it would seem to me that that would simply relieve the utility of the liability and would be a benefit to the utility if they could use that line without having to assume the burden of ownership.
Well, of course, the fact of the matter is that the APA would have no personnel in the area with which to maintain the line.
I don't question the convenience, only trying to find out if there's an issue here, and maybe we should just move on from it, you know?
All right, thank you. The other line, the Kobuk to Shumnak line, that's also a distribution grade line, although it serves a transmission purpose. And the history of this one is quite different. As I recall, this line was originally started as a project of the now defunct Division of Energy and Power Development within the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. And it was an experimental demonstration type project intended to be a single wire ground return. The engineers apparently were cautious enough that they installed a couple of wires here instead of the single wire, but it was not built to anything like national standards, REA standards, or possibly even code. And it was built with local untreated poles that won't last very long. And speaking for AVEC in this particular case on the Shumnak end of the line, AVEC is relieved that the intention is to give it to Kobuk instead of to AVEC, because we anticipate that there will be very significant maintenance costs to this line within 10 years.
Mr. Gruber, how long is the line?
I think that one's about 11 miles. I think the other one's about 12 miles.
One thing I'm concerned about, and I wasn't even thinking when we were talking in terms of public purpose, what is the one thing I would want to know, and I think that the legislature should know before approving any such transfer, is what the value of each project is. What would you say? Is there an appraisal on
yes,
this particular?
Yes, APA is.
Ask from APA. What is the value of the appraisal?
From the co-option, yeah.
Would you both possibly like to join us at the table, because I've seen you nodding occasionally. Maybe you've got something that should come up and help us proceed expeditiously.
Well, I don't understand that. But
you mean you're at today's value now?
Yeah. What is the current appraised value?
I don't have the current appraised value, but I do have a $1,982 what the cost of the line was.
You're not talking about the appropriation figure that's in here?
No. The appropriation figure was $545,000. The cost to construct the line at 11 miles was $665,500. The contractor took about $100,000
more than the appropriation.
Yes.
Would you have any idea, because apparently there's been some deterioration in the poles anyway, what the present appraised value would be? I assume it would be less than that. There must have been some depreciation.
Well, at this time, the line it was operating. It has not been operating over the past 2 weeks because of a part that has gone out, and this is about a $2,000 repair. And this has nothing to do with the poles, but they did the construction of the line used rough-hewn local timber, so.
Does the line consist, is the transfer to include generating equipment or motors, just simply the line itself? How long? The thing I'm concerned about is if we're transferring these lines to a presumably a local government of some type.
In one case, here
in this particular, in the Kobuk case.
Okay. In that case, yes.
Does the government that we're does the transferee have the ability, financial ability, to maintain that line, or are they going to be coming back to us in a few years for special appropriations or additional budgetary items for maintenance?
If they do assume ownership and to maintain operating and maintenance levels, they're going to have to potentially up the rates of their consumers.
What relationship will this in turn require additional state funding under the Energy Equalization Program? If so, my concern is if we are transferring, and these are just generic kinds of problems that the legislature, I believe, must look at. In each of these cases, does the transferee have the technical expertise and financial ability to maintain the line? Or are we buying ourselves into increased costs because we are transferring things to local entities that can't maintain them, and maybe through, for example, everything. Somebody was mentioning somewhere in one of the committees the other day or on the floor that in one of the villages, the generating power plant was maintained by the husband of a school employee or some municipal employee. The municipal employee lost her job. The person who maintained the equipment in top shape, the whole family left the community. Within a couple of months, the whole thing was totally down. And I'm concerned about in each of these cases, the transferee's ability to maintain the line and to be able, both technically and financially, to carry its end of the bargain, or we may be stuck bolstering this thing up for the next, who knows how long. Can you answer me?
I don't mean to make a speech.
I can answer in part, but certainly Kodiak Electric is a competent utility that's able to take care of the line, and that's not a problem in regard to the lines. But in the Kobuk case, I could not answer the question. AVEC, on the other end of the system, is a utility that has an overlay of management that operates these systems in 48 separate villages, and although they certainly have their problems, they do better out the bush than anybody else does.
But they are simply the consumer of this. They're not going to be charged with maintaining the line, is that correct?
Actually, AVEC operates the Shumnak system, and so they're selling the power. They're providing the power to Kobuk.
So they would be expected to generate the funds. What about the power cost assistance issue? How would the final trade-off be? Have you done an analysis to determine the difference in cost to the state versus, you know, maintaining the line ourselves versus transferring that line, having the costs paid by the consumers, having the power cost assistance subsidy therefore increase, and then you deal with the overhead and the operating expenses and the administrative costs and so on. Obviously, I think it's all of our desire, if the thing can be managed well, to turn it over. But is it going to end up being a savings, or by the time we're done subsidizing the ratepayers, are we going to end up actually paying more?
We've not done that research, Mr. Chairman. We could.
Do you have any opinion on the history of these sorts of things, or what
well,
you
since
would project?
This is a rather precedent-setting situation with the transfer of these transmission lines. that's an unknown, but we can give you the figures on the power cost assistance.
Mr. Chairman, then how can you say that, how can you come before that? I'm not being critical of you. How can the ABA come before the committee with unanimous resolution that this is in fact in the public interest without having done its homework? We need that information. I need that information before I can say this is in the public interest.
Representative Maru?
Thank you. Does the city of Kobuk have an electric distribution system now?
Their line is from the Shungnak, between Shungnak and then AVAC is
the
generating
city the... City of Kobuk is handling electric distribution within the city?
Yes.
Within the city of Kobuk?
Through AVAC at the...
No, Mr. Chairman, the city of Kobuk, municipality of Kobuk, does in fact have its own local distribution system and had the diesel generators serving the community before this tie line. The idea of having this hookup with Shungnak originally was to try to get some economies of scale by generating in one place instead of two smaller places. And by having the line, so long as it's operational and if the maintenance costs on it aren't exorbitant, the idea was to, in fact, reduce the overall costs, which would be reflected in the fire cost assistance at that time, now fire cost equalization. In the case of the other line, as soon as the line becomes operational, the village of Fort Lyons is no longer eligible for participation in power cost equalization.
My point, Mr. Chairman, is that evidently the city of Kobuk does have expertise in distribution lines, and for my colleague from Spinard, distribution lines, or transmission lines, which you're talking about here, which are simpler than distribution lines, have no moving parts by and large. They consist of poles, wires, and insulators. And there's very little expertise required to maintain those, as opposed to a generating plant, where considerable expertise is required to maintain it. So you're speaking of the generating plant going out somewhere is, in my opinion, utterly unrelated to what we're discussing here. Speaking, I've operated generating plants myself, and they're considerably more difficult to operate than transmission lines, which are just solid-state devices. All you got to do is worry about whether the pole rots out or does not rot out, and whether there's too many birds that sit on the line, and whether there's too much ice that's on the line, and that sort of thing. There are sometimes switches involved, but by and large, they're solid-state affairs. There's just nothing goes wrong with them. I also take exception, and I disagree with you in suggesting that the APA has not done its homework. First of all, in my opinion, according to what's in this folder, the APA does not need our concurrence. They can go ahead and do this without our concurrence, and they're being nice by doing this, by coming to the legislature and asking for this. If APA does not transfer these lines to somebody else, they themselves are going to have to come up with operation and maintenance budget, which is definitely going to come from the state. If this is transferred to Kobuk and KEA, at least, I think, the state is not going to get involved. If the state does get involved, then it's going to be something we have to look at in the future. But I can guarantee that if they remain within APA, the state will get involved in operation and maintenance. And I don't know, I personally haven't seen any problem with this, and as I mentioned earlier, I seldom ever have to defend the governor and the attorney general, but in this case, they appear to be correct. It's a small matter that cut our losses and get rid of it.
Before recognizing Representative Grunberg, let's just clarify the issue about what they have to do and what they don't have to do. This is part of the energy program for Alaska. It's my understanding that they do require legislative approval. Why don't we get a statement from the Attorney General's office on that so we can proceed at least with the same set of facts?
Then Mr. Chairman, we have a statement from the
Why don't you listen to the witness from the Attorney General's office and correct your misunderstanding, sir?
Mr. Chairman, let her just state the fact and then... Could we get a clarification on this, please?
Mr. Chairman, it is correct that because these projects were funded from the Power Development Fund, you do need to authorize by legislation transfer. The APA does have general authority to transfer its other assets, but not those within the energy program.
Thank you. Representative Grunberg.
I think one thing I see as a possibility here is, and I think it's real important, Mr. Chairman, that we divide these There are two separate things we're being asked to approve here. The two lines have nothing really to do with each other. But at least with the Kobuk situation, there, and I appreciate Representative Maru remind me that this is not a generating plant here. If we have a set of poles that are about to fall down, and this is up near Kotzebue.
Mm-hmm. These are poles, by the way, rather than a ferry line.
There may be some fair expense involved without the transferee having the financial ability to meet that expense, with an additional problem if these poles are necessary to supply homes in a very cold part of the state, and the poles go down in the winter, the state may be faced with, at least the inhabitants there, may be faced with a substantial emergency without anybody to correct the situation immediately. And we, in other words, I want to be, my first concern is for the health and safety of the people who live there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, they still have the local diesel plant in Cuba, which can be cranked up as a stand. So there's a standby.
But are we transferring? The thing I'm concerned about, and I can see APA wanting to get rid of a white elephant, save the state money, and I don't fault them for that. But I think that we ought to know if in fact that's the case, that the people there ought to know what they are going to be faced with paying over the next 1 to 3 or 4 years, so that they don't, you know, they may see this as a great gift from the state, and in fact, they may be buying a liability. And that's something also that we need to know in the public interest.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that what's likely to happen with this Shungak-Kubak line is that it will be operated as long as the poles stand, and when those poles rot out in about 10 years, that the cost of reconstruction or maintenance on it will be greater than the increased cost of using your own smaller diesel generator, and they'll go back to their own small diesel generator in Kubak.
Is that going to be popular with the people there? You're assuming that politically the poles go out, and then they say, okay, and they walk away. I think that if you examine some of the history of these kinds of things in parts of the state, that's not what happens. They say, hey, we've come to depend upon these projects. Now, state, you come and bail us out. And they'll come with a special bill.
That's going to be a cost to the state in either scenario.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I'm reading from the engineer's report.
Please.
As of March 14, 1984. Maintenance work on the single wire ground return line has been completed and the line is in excellent condition. Now, this was in March last 84. The line should not require any additional attention with the exception of item 2 below until late next fall.
With the exception of what?
Item 2 below.
Okay, well, I would tend to personally agree with Representative Maru that the cost of operating this transmission line is not going to be more to the consumer or to the state through the Power Cost Assistance Program than the cost to the state of maintaining the line. And I may be incorrect, but that is my uneducated guess.
That assumes that they will be able to maintain the line or replace the line or whatever they're going to do with the line for the same cost that the state would. And
that will do it for less.
Well, they may, or they, or it may cost them more.
Or it may cost them more.
Are we moving this bill out?
Well, I'll tell you, Randy, when we first started out here, my concern was very simple. I wanted to identify the corporate nature of the Kodiak Electrical Association to understand the appropriateness of the transfer. Since that time, a couple of other issues came up, which I think I've drafted some rough language for. If we can all get together in agreement, then I would see no reason why we can't move it out. We do have 10 minutes left, so why don't we...
I think it's going to take a lot longer than that.
Well, then we will move it out, but let's just play on for 10 more minutes and see where we end up.
Well, I was going to suggest the Department of Law and our legal people get together, and we've stated out the outline.
Well, that's what I want to review with you before we...
It's fine with me. I reheard it.
Well, now I put it in writing, and
well, we can see it tomorrow when it's in writing. Your legal language.
Well, okay.
You got the concept. I have no argument against the concept.
Well, I'd like to make sure that my understanding of what you heard is the same as yours before we adjourn, if that's all right. Could we get just a couple minutes on the nature of the co-op that would receive this project so that that can be on the record?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I appreciate, by the way, your patience. I know we digressed considerably on the issue of why it's necessary, and I don't think that really need be an issue to this committee.
Kodiak Electric Association is a nonprofit co-op organized under AS 1025 for the purpose of providing power to its member consumers. And it's one of 15 such co-ops in the state, the second oldest of those that are organized. And other similar co-ops in the state have, in fact, received grants from the legislature through the years, like Cotsview Electric has frequently been the recipient of cash grants, as Mackinac Electric and Michigan Electric have each received grants, and there's a grant being proposed this year for Cordova Electric, similarly situated, and Madanuska Electric had received, I think, a $500,000 grant some years ago that has never been spent. And so it's not something new for co-ops to be receiving grants from the state. It's just ordinary some cash.
That this is a typical recipient of a named recipient grant for this purpose. How many members do the organization have?
I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,500.
Do they vote on the governing board?
Yes, they do.
All of course.
Are there any questions by members of the committee regarding the nature of the entity?
Make
is there any objection by any member of the committee of the transfer in and of itself, aside from the other issues that have been identified? Do you feel that...
This is on Kodiak.
This is on Kodiak, yeah.
Not from the evidence we have before us.
Thank you, and I guess really, Representative, what I'm asking too is the issue of the financial evaluation is one aspect of this. I'm concerned with the legal issue and the appropriateness of the transfer of the entity to, in one case, a political subdivision, in the other case, a co-op, and it's my general understanding that there's no objection to that concept.
Does the co-op have the financial ability to maintain the line?
Oh, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. This is a very small item in its operation.
So how long is it?
All right. I think it's approximately 12 miles.
I suggest that whatever you and Representative Greenberg come up with, we either put into a letter of intent to go with this, or we put it into a separate bill and don't muddy the waters with this little simple bill. I see Representative Phillips agrees with me that we keep this bill separately and either attach a letter of intent or start another bill to do what you want, or both to do what you want to do.
Thank you. I think that the only issue that has come up that maybe needs to be discussed in regards to what you just said is this, that it's been stated a number of times, this is a precedent-setting action. It's my understanding that a finding of public purpose is the basic element here, and I think that a statement in the bill indicating that such public purpose has been established would be appropriate. Secondly, and I don't see any objection to that in terms of the issue, I mean, it seems that everybody concedes that it's an okay thing to do and that it serves the public interest. The other issue having to do with the transfer of property by the Alaska Power Authority is in a very interesting condition right now, insofar as they can transfer public property to anyone they want without legislative review, even if it's $1 million item, unless it's part of the energy program for Alaska. And I have some very grave reservations about that. And there has been some interest shown by the committee in including language to specify that just as we are approving this transfer, so also should the legislature approve other transfers. It seems to me that if we put it in a letter of intent, we might just as well stick it in the bill. That's just my personal opinion.
I think it should be the bill.
What I'd like to do so that we could discuss something more, and I think we, unless there's further objection, the issues that have to do with this transfer have been established and successful, satisfactorily so, and I don't see any objection to moving through a bill that will accomplish this purpose and doing so as quickly as possible. So for those of you who are concerned with that, you need not be. On this other issue, however, here were the things that were suggested, and I'd like to run them by those people present. First of all, that if we were to go with the suggestion of Representative Broomberg for the sake of discussion, it would be an act authorizing the transfer and defining the transfer procedures by the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date. I don't know how the sections would be ordered, but for sake of discussion, Section 1 would amend Alaska Statute 4483080, Subsection 7, and break that subsection into an A and B. It would say that these transfers may take place. However, no transfer for less than fair market value of assets valued at over $10,000, for the sake of discussion, may occur without legislative authorization. Subsection 7B, in requesting such authorization, the APA will provide the legislature with written findings establishing the public purpose for the transfer. And then the next section of the bill would make this particular transfer, the next section of the bill would state that in findings that the legislature finds that the transfer of these particular utilities do in fact serve the public interest, and Section 3 would accomplish the transfer, and Section 4 would be the effective date.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
sir. You have asked questions concerning the facts concerning the Kodiak transfer, Port Lyons.
The other's going to a political subdivision of the state, so it's in a matter of speaking, you know, a transfer between governmental entities. So if we pay the cost or they pay the cost, we're going to pay the cost anyway. That's the reason why I haven't raised any issues on the COBA, because it's going to a municipality, and whoever gets stuck with it, you can guess who's going to end up.
And the municipality it is going to is
COBA. The city of COBA.
City of COBA.
Yes, sir.
That's what was it, second question?
Yes, sir. So there would be the following amendments to the bill as written with regard to that. It would say that the Port Lyons transmission line funded by Section 1, etc., as amended by and so forth, is transferred to the, or the transfer is authorized to the Kodiak Electrical Association. And regarding Kobuk, etc., the transfer is authorized to the city of Kobuk. The reason for that, for the record, and if you feel that there's a problem there, I'd like to know, is that the way the bill is written, it authorizes the authority to transfer certain projects to public utilities. It just seems so general. I don't see the need for a general title like that when you're talking about specific transfers, so I think it should be specified.
May I ask another question or so? I'm looking at the memo from Mr. I'm looking at the memo to Reg Gillespie from Robert Heath, dated April 12, in the third full paragraph, and it says, this bill requires legislative action this session. The first reason is that these are a liability to the state, for the reason that property insurance is not presently provided. But then it says in the next sentence, that insurance should not be procured based on the excessive cost which would be required to insure the facilities. If the state isn't providing insurance and the state wants to dump these facilities so that the municipality has to provide the insurance, can the municipality afford these insurance if the cost is prohibitive to the state? Will the facilities be, if not, will the facilities wind up being uninsured? Seems to me that
talked with Don Hitchcock on Monday afternoon, and he's the risk management for the state of Alaska, and he said it's not of general nature for the state to have property insurance. I've got a figure on the property insurance which we would have to pay, and that would be $15 per 1,000 in rural areas, and that is a bottom line. That's not a top
per
1,000
what?
Per $1,000. And right now we do have liability insurance, and that is approximately $20,000, and this is a blanket insurance policy that covers all APA projects.
Covers all the projects.
And these two projects would be approximately $5,000 in liability.
Are you representing both of these entities, the city of Kobuk and the...
I do not represent Kobuk, but I do represent the Alaska Village Electric Co-op on the other end of that line.
I see.
And that's a low get.
It's the understanding of those two entities that they would be able to manage the responsibilities of managing these lines through their revenues?
It's certainly KEA's, they have no problem with managing it. This would be a very small part of their system.
I'm not concerned about KEA.
And AZEC would have nothing to do with it. They simply sell the power to Kobuk, who would get...
Logically, Kobuk would be charging them, though, for the costs involved in...
No,
Kobuk's the receiver.
Kobuk's buying the power from KEA. They're simply from AVEC. They're simply buying the power from AVEC at the bus bar cost.
And Kobuk is the transferee, right?
Correct.
How much will the insurance, the property insurance on this line, cost the city of Kobuk?
Mr. Hitchcock could not say. He said they could opt out not to have property insurance, of course. But they should have a city policy in effect, which this could be included.
But it would still cost them extra.
Yes.
Well, why aren't we giving it to the co-op? Why are we giving it to Kobuk? Maybe this is an issue.
AVEC doesn't want it. They see a tremendous maintenance cost about 10 years down the road on this thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
we have just 3 minutes. I have no doubts from what everything Mr. Hutchings has said, whom I trust implicitly in this, that there's no problem with the Kodiak situation. I am not at this time, if we're going to take the bill up again, prepared to say one way or the other with respect to the other line. I have some, I would go through the rest of this stuff in this paragraph. I think we need more information before we can say that this is in the public interest.
Okay, let me ask this. First of all, what does the city of Kobuk say about this? I mean, if it's our line, I was just about satisfied, but I have to admit that this is a point well taken. If it's a liability and a problem to us, how do we, frankly, make it any less of a problem for us by giving it to one of our political subdivisions unless they've got the desire to state how they're going to...
They had no objection to receiving the line.
Well, that's not the question.
No.
I mean, I understand that at this moment in history, they've got well-placed representatives who maybe can get them the money and somehow help your budget request in that direction. But in the long term, what's going to be the outcome for that community? Who is assessing this for their protection? Are they? Have they?
They have no objection. As far as
what information have they been provided which generated their non-objection? What have they been told? And by whom?
One of our staff people had talked with the city of Kobuk.
Could you have that staff person call me up
yes.
as soon as this meeting's over? And we'll proceed with this
again
on Wednesday. Yes,
that we carry this over whenever you're going
to
do it.
I'm afraid we're going to have to. We've accepted this language. I'm going to get the CS drafted up, and we're going to have to satisfy ourselves that they know what they're getting themselves into.
I would suggest, and I think that frankly, it's to APA's benefit for us to establish a good sound policy in this for future use. And I would rather see us not go through a transfer that's really not well thought out than do something that's poor policy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to request, Mr. Chairman, that when we take this bill up next, we have a teleconference with the people from Kobuk on the other end of the line, too.
Well, maybe we can establish the facts.
Or somebody who really is in a position of authority, so we make darn sure they know what they're getting into.
What is scheduled for Wednesday, not for Friday? What is that? Okay, well, why don't those people who are interested in this, we'll all work on it today and tomorrow, and we'll move it out Wednesday. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I think some of the questions being asked from that end of the table are not germane.
No.
Speaking both as a former engineer and as a former businessman, you cannot answer every single possible bloody question that can be dreamed up by the human mind. It just cannot be done.
But we can find out whether or not the city of Kobuk knows what they're getting into, don't you think?
I don't think it's germane to ask whether the city of Kobuk knows what they're getting into, because if they have made the decision, it is their responsibility, not ours, to decide for the city of Kobuk, whether they do or do not want it. If
do you have a city council resolution in front of you that suggests that the city council has made this decision, or do we have a staff person who has spoken to someone who's not identified?
I believe this lady, and I have no reason to doubt
her. I believe this lady, too. She hasn't told me that the city council has approved this.
Mr. Chairman, with due respect, you're making a value judgment that I'm not prepared to make, what we should or shouldn't do. That's not a factual question, it's a value judgment.
4:30, this meeting is adjourned.